Good evening. We're going to be in Jonah, picking up where we left off. Jonah. I can find it. Here we are. We've almost made it out of chapter 1 into chapter 2. Tonight we'll get into chapter 2 a little bit, but we'll be resting really on chapter 1, verse 17. It'll be a bit of a fishy topic this evening. We'll see that Jonah was really wailed on by someone else, something else. Sorry. Look at verse 17 of chapter 1. We'll just read through this, and then we'll get right into it. Jonah, chapter 1, verse 17. The Lord appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the stomach of the fish, and he said, I called out of my distress to the Lord, and he answered me. I cried for help from the depth of Sheol. You heard my voice. For you had cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the current engulfed me. All your breakers and billows passed over me. So I said, I have been expelled from your sight. Nevertheless, I will look again towards your temple. Water encompassed me to the point of death. The great deep engulfed me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I descended to the roots of the mountains. The earth with its bars was around me forever. But you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who regard vain idols forsake their faithfulness. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. That which I have vowed I will pay. Salvation is from the Lord. Then the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah up onto the dry land. Lord, again, we seek your face. We pray that you would help us to understand these verses this evening, O God, and that you would help us to apply these things to our lives. Give us energy to endure. Help us to stay alert, Lord, and that you would bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. When we think of Jonah, a lot of times when you ask someone, anybody who's acquainted with Jonah at all, someone who maybe is not even that goes to church, someone who's not even a Christian, you ask them, what's Jonah all about? And they may say, oh, the one that got swallowed by a whale. That's what comes to mind when one thinks of Jonah. You ask anyone about that this week, ask them. Someone who doesn't know anything necessarily about the Scriptures, doesn't know the Lord, but they know they've heard this or they've heard that. See what they know about Jonah and see if that can provoke a conversation. Well, it's well known. Some say it was a myth that he was swallowed by a great fish. Some believe it to be true. To say that it's myth is to seek to undermine the Word of God. To say that it happens as it says is to believe what the Word of God says. There's no reason that we should believe otherwise than what the Word of God says, considering the great fish. Considering any miracles that God would provide in His Word that God did. We see it, the Word says it, and we believe it. More importantly, that what was going on in the belly of the great fish was what was going on in Jonah's heart as he was saying what he said in chapter 2, really. Nevertheless, let's look at some details about this great fish. Some say it's not possible for a man to be swallowed up by a great fish, live inside the fish for 3 days, and to be vomited up on the shore. Well, we definitely say it's not a common thing that happens. We don't see it every time on WMUR or whatnot, that, hey, another guy was in the belly of a fish, and here he is. But the scripture here indeed says so. Those who say it is impossible are those who deny the miraculous, really. So we should not be surprised. But the Lord appointed a great fish, in verse 17, to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days and three nights. The Hebrew word for fish here is a general word for fish, not necessarily a whale. Oftentimes we think of a whale. Some express the opinion that it was a large shark, considering the location in the Mediterranean. But then if you think of a large shark, there's these things called teeth that would make this quite interesting for Jonah or anyone else who was swallowed up by this sea monster. James Boyce presents some fascinating info in his commentary, published in 2002, which his sermon in the commentary's teaching could have been earlier. And I thought it might be earlier because he talks about Encyclopedia Britannica. And that was back in the day. That was like the thing to have, I guess, right? Encyclopedia Britannica. I think I was just a young lad when this thing was going around. But interesting to skeptics, the Library Research Service of the Encyclopedia Britannica regularly distributed info supportive of the biblical narrative. And we say, how could that be? Well, it's not today, so it's 20 years ago or so. It continues, some whales apparently have throats that are too small to swallow a man. When we think of a whale, we think of large organs. Everything is huge with a whale or a great-sized animal of this kind. Yet, as Boyce also says, the average specimen of the sperm whale might have a mouth of 20 feet long, 15 feet high, and 9 feet wide. So that's the size of a room, really. And so we've a small room, I guess, or large, depending on where you live. But we've all seen probably whales on shows or whatnot. We've seen how big they are, massive, and when the mouth comes open, all the squid goes in there, or the plankton, or whatever it is. But the squid reached the size of a grown man. So if you think, that's pretty large, if you think of a squid. Whalers have found whole squid in a dead whale's stomach. So if you think of them cutting open a stomach and there's a large squid, you say, okay, that's the size of a man. It could indeed take place. Britannica also suggests a person could survive for a time in a whale's stomach, but it would be of great discomfort. And we probably agree with that. It probably wouldn't be the most comfortable thing. It would be hot. There would be limited air. And the gastric juices would affect the skin. But science, I'll tell you. There's also the account in 1891, in February, of a whaling ship known as the Star of the East. It was cruising around the Falkland Islands when it spotted a large sperm whale. They launched two boats to spear the whale. They used to do that. I don't know if they do that anymore or if it's allowed, but that's what they did. And a man by the name of James Bartley fell overboard and disappeared as they were trying to get this whale. Well, the sailors eventually killed the whale, pulled it up to the side of the ship, and remove the blubber, as they did, from the side of the ship. And eventually, they're able to hoist the stomach onto the ship, cut it open, and there, indeed, was James Bartley, unconscious but alive. So that's pretty incredible if it's true. I wasn't there, none of us were, but it's a pretty amazing story there. But there's also... we consider whales, we consider shark. There's also this animal called a Rhinocoden typus, also known as a whale shark. You probably heard of a whale shark before. Largest living fish. up to 41.5 feet in length. I read a little bit more. It said that these animals can get bigger than that. So that could indeed be what the animal was. Nevertheless, whatever it was a great fish. The Lord hurled first, as we have looked at, a great wind on Jonah, who was supposed to preach in a great city known as Nineveh. Now the Lord appoints, which is an action of a king, this appointing, he sends a great fish to swallow Jonah. So we see this adjective, this great wind, this great city, this great fish. This time it was a great fish to swallow Jonah. The miracle is not so much that Jonah was swallowed up by this great fish, but that he survived, that he made it out by God's grace. It was God's means of appointing Jonah, of appointing this fish in order to rescue Jonah, in order to get Jonah where he wanted him to be. So Jonah was in the stomach of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. Now, 3 days and three nights not need to be regarded as a full three 24-hour days with three nights as we would consider it, right? A Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you think 3 nights, you try to book a hotel or something, 2 nights, 3 days, or 3 days, or 3 nights, 4 days. In Hebrew usage, it means something different. Agreeing with D.A. Carson here, who says, according to Jewish tradition, 3 days, 3 nights need mean no more than 3 days or the combination of any part of three separate days. If we interpret this with Hebrew usage, Jonah was vomited up on the third day after being swallowed by the fish, the great fish. And we have to remember why Jonah was swallowed up by the great fish appointed by the Lord. It's not that this fish was hungry necessarily, but Jonah was in rebellion. Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. By all appearances, this predicament that Jonah was in was the end for him. If you just stop right there in verse 17, and that would be the end, and you say, okay, Jonah got swallowed up by a great whale. He should have drowned, but instead a whale ate him. But Jonah continued going, as we see in chapter 1, going down, going down, going down. Going down to Joppa, going down to the ship, going down to underneath the ship to go to sleep. And here he is after they threw him overboard and the whale or the great fish swallows him and he is going down and he cries out, as we will see in chapter 2, but not this evening, from what he calls the depth of Sheol. Now, for us to gain a further understanding of the significance of Jonah's descent in the stomach of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, we also want to look for a moment at what Jesus says about this in Matthew chapter 12. So let's turn there for a moment. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. We will begin in verse 38. Excuse me, that was the first. Okay, glad I got that out of the way. Verse 38. Some of the scribes and the Pharisees said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." So here they go again. The Pharisees, up to their old tricks, "Show us a sign. We've seen this type of thing before in the Gospel of John. Show us this. You say you're this, you say you're that." So Matthew, we see the similar things. "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation craves for a sign." So right there's an indictment against them as being an evil and adulterous generation, which we would say it applies to us, to our generation as well today, craving for a sign. Yet no sign will be given to it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up with this generation at the judgment and will condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here. So they had the gall to ask for another sign, just as they attributed his signs that Jesus was doing to Satan in verse 24. So now, again, they're saying, show us, we want to see a sign from you. And plenty of signs were given throughout Jesus' ministry, healing lepers, healing the lame, healing the blind, yet people would still not believe. Yet when we consider Jonah, Jonah did not perform any signs. Jonah preached the judgment of God. The sign of Jonah is Jonah himself, the man. And as Jesus says, for just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So we see that Jesus quotes what we just read in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Just as Jonah was entombed in the belly of the fish, when Jonah was vomited out of the mouth of the great fish after 3 days and three nights, or on the third day, he did what? He went and he preached to Nineveh. When Jesus was buried and he was in the earth, his body lay and he rose on the third day, then he was what? Declared the Son of God by his resurrection. So we see this pointing to Jesus. In Jewish thought, again, 3 days and three nights was what it took for a death to be confirmed. It was a tradition there. We think of now, for a death to be confirmed, it doesn't take but a few minutes, really. Someone confirmed the time of death, and there it is, a medical professional can determine that this person has expired. In Jewish thinking, 3 days and three nights is what it took for a death to be confirmed according to their tradition. It's just interesting that the Lord waited till the fourth day to raise Lazarus. And Jesus was in the heart of the earth 3 days. That is, his body was in a tomb, and he rose on the third day according to the scriptures. And Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights. Did Jonah die? Some say he did. He may have merely died to self as he was in this predicament, as his prayer will help us understand when we get to chapter 2. He was as good as dead, considered dead, but was vomited out on dry land. As we could see, Jonah points to Christ. Jonah suffered God's judgment and was as good as dead and came back from the depths. Jesus suffered under God's judgment on the cross for sinners and died and rose from the dead. Jonah was given up so that those on the ship could be saved from the wrath of the storm. Jesus gave up his life so that those who believed on him would be saved from the wrath of God. And as Jesus says, something greater than Jonah is here. And Daniel Doriani offers these parallels for us. Jonah went to enemies whom he hated in Nineveh, as he will. Jonah went to his enemies whom he hated. Jesus went to his people whom he loved. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Jonah declared impending judgment, as he did in Nineveh. Jesus preached the gospel. Jonah came with words. Jesus came with words and deeds that verified them. Jonah, a man of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jonah's preaching was enough that the Ninevites repented. That's all that they needed. And here are these Pharisees saying, give us a sign. But when Jonah reached Nineveh and he preached, that's all that was needed for one to believe. This sign, quote unquote. And that's for today, what is needed for someone to believe. The preaching of the Word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news of salvation through the crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. Something greater than Jonah has come. Indeed. So as we consider just this one verse in Jonah, and it seems like we're going to be very short this evening. Some of you say that's okay, and some of us say give us more. Let's hear more of this, but let me look at some attributes here, seek some attributes in what we're studying. Another great example of God using His extraordinary means at His disposal to accomplish His will and display His glory. This great fish that He used. The same word appointed we find also in chapter 4. I invite you to turn there. It's maybe a page or two over. The same word appointed in the Hebrew occurs three times in chapter 4 and verse 6 through 8. So the Lord God appointed a plant, and it grew up over Jonah to be a shade over his head to deliver him from his discomfort. And Jonah was extremely happy about the plant. But God appointed, there's that word again, God appointed a worm when dawn came the next day, and it attacked the plant, and it withered. Verse 8, when the sun came up, God appointed a scorching east wind. And the sun beat down on Jonah's head so that he became faint and begged with all of his soul to die, saying, death is better to me than life. So we see here God's sovereignty over creation. God appointing the great fish. God appointing a plant. God appointing a worm. God appointing scorching east winds. God's sovereignty over creation, His creation. We also see the mercy of God in Jonah's life. He was disobedient to God, but God saves him anyway. It must have been miserable in this whale's, or I keep saying whales, see, I'm indoctrinated, this great fish, he was inside. This must have been miserable in this belly. And as Christians, we should always remember that whatever miseries we are going through, Christ's mercies are greater than our miseries. We see the mercy of God in Jonah's life. He didn't drown. God appointed a great fish to swallow him up as a means of rescuing him out of the depths. Jonah was running from God, just as all of us before we were Christians were running from God. We weren't running to him, and he rescued us out of the depths of our depravity. He sent his son to rescue us out of the depths of our depravity. A preacher one time was preaching on depravity, and at the end of his sermon, one of the listeners came up to him and said, I can't swallow what you said about depravity. The preacher responded, you don't have to. It's in you already. God appointed the great fish at the perfect time to fulfill God's perfect plan. God saved us, those of us who are children of God, at the perfect time the perfect place according to His perfect plan. Oftentimes I think that, you know, I wish I would have got saved when I was younger than 27 years of age. Why couldn't I have been saved as a kid? It would have saved me a lot of grief and trials and bad decisions, and I could go on and on and on, and some of you could agree, but that wasn't God's appointed time, and His time is best. He knows way better than we do. He knows way better than I do about His plans for salvation for my life and for your life. The perfect timing. No coincidence. It was no coincidence that this whale was there at this specific time when Jonah was waiting, or when he was swimming around in the water, drowning, or getting ready to, and here's this whale. It's not by chance. No, God appointed this great fish. No coincidences. God being in control of all events at all times. This is what, again, jumps off the pages for us. We also see the kindness of God that is shown when He preserves Jonah instead of letting him drown. He preserves him through this and throughout Jonah's ministry once he gets on dry land and goes to the Ninevites. Who's preserving his life? God. Who's preserving our lives? God. The kindness of God. Nothing escapes God's sovereignty. He determines the means and the ends. How we get to where we're going and where we're going. And we consider Jonah, he was a disobedient prophet, and look what God did for him. Look how God was kind to him, and God did not let him go. God is a kind God to a disobedient prophet, and also out of concern for him and for the people of Nineveh. Ultimately, he's going to the Ninevites who needed to repent, and they did. And a text that comes to my mind that I believe I mentioned this morning as I was studying through this as well is Romans 8:28. Again, God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, those called according to His purpose. Only those who love God, we can say yes and amen to this verse. This is for the Christian. And as we consider that, we consider God's attributes, we consider His sovereignty, we consider His mercy, we consider His kindness, and let that be what we meditate upon as we leave this, as we leave this place, put our heads on our pillows tonight, as we wake up in the morning, we get up in the morning, we say, wow, this is God's mercy, a new day, this is God's kindness towards us, another day. And God is sovereign over all things in our lives. All right, I'm going to pray for us, and then our brother's going to lead us in another hymn. Father, as we quickly just move through this one verse, really, we see, O Lord, that You appoint the means. You appointed a great fish to swallow Jonah, God, and You appoint the means in our lives to get us to where You want to put us, Lord. If there is somewhere we need to be or somewhere we need to be in our own hearts as You humble us, oh God, You will use the means to get us there, God. And You are in all control of all things. And we thank You that we can study this and we can see that, Lord. And we see Your mercy on Jonah. And we thank You for the mercy that You've shown us. How undeserving we are. And You caused him to persevere because You preserved him and You preserve us. We persevere because of You and because of your hold on us in the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You're so kind to us, God. We're undeserving people. Help us, O Lord, to meditate upon these things, upon Your attributes and upon Your care for us. This night and this week, O Lord. Come what may, we can say, Lord, that it is well with our souls. In Jesus' name, amen.